Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullip, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning. Happy Black Friday.
That's today. Right. It is Black Friday.
Right? Exactly. Was that on sale?
We're on sale. How much do you think we're on sale for?
We're on sale.
Let's not.
I thought your outfit was on sale.
Oh, this is thrift store from 5 years ago.
Is it?
I like to dress classy for my radio appearances.
Gotcha. Well, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning, and I've already got all your presents for the holidays.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It means I got to shop for you.
Yeah, that'd be nice. No, you don't have no pressure. You know what? Co-hosting a show with you is gift enough.
Wow. Sometimes you say really nice things.
Right. And then I laugh. We both laugh.
Yeah.
Because we know.
We know it's not true.
You know. Anyway. Welcome, everyone. Let's focus to our Solutions from the Street program this week. We are glad that you are with us. It is Black Friday. Hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And we are here because we have another important solution to a really important problem that
Correct.
We've been talking about on multiple occasions on this program, right?
Mental health, but specifically mental health of first responders.
Yeah. That is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people that deal with people at their worst, people dealing with trauma, people dealing with just problems in their lives, the dispatchers that are having to talk to people that are calling in, having whatever's going on in their life. Someone's been hurt, someone's injured, something's going on. And the first responders, the EMTs, police and fire and all these folks are who we're talking about. So
yes.
That's the issue. And I don't know if a lot of focus is being put on their mental health. You know, we heard a lot about it, I think, after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
But we just think that they're going to show up and that they're going to see these horrible, horrible things and shake it off and go back to work and keep responding to these horrible, horrible things.
So
we have a solution.
We do have a solution. Guardian Initiatives is one of the solutions that exist out there, and so...
Exactly. And so our guest is here from Guardian Initiatives. Welcome. Good to have you with us. And Mark, thanks for coming in.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Mark Fetzer is part of the team of Guardian Initiatives, and we'll talk a little bit about what you guys are going to be doing and what your team will be doing here in just a moment. But you guys were founded maybe how long ago now?
End of 2018, beginning of 2019, our nonprofit Guardian Initiatives. We started it here in Farmington area, and we started it with a broad mission statement to be able to help or support people or organizations or places that have been negatively affected. And Jared, the other guy, and I, who we founded it, both of us law enforcement, first responders, and thought, why not first responder mental wellness to start? And it's really will be I believe the foundation for Guardian for the rest of however long Guardian is around, which we hope to be a very long time.
Right. And so from some of the things we were saying at the beginning of the show, I mean, this is the stuff that you are trying to help with, right? These first responders?
Yes, very much so. First responder mental wellness. And even though Jared and I are law enforcement, we look to, like you mentioned, all first responders, law enforcement, fire, EMS, dispatch, even corrections on that side.
Good point. We left that out of the
yes.
of the list at the top, but these corrections officers are dealing with a lot of stuff day in and day out as well.
Correct. And while they're not going out on the street answering calls, they're still dealing with a lot of, you know, the issues that, you know, when we law enforcement goes out on the street and is handling people, or, you know, they see a lot of some of that bleed over from
right.
the street as well.
And so Guardian Initiatives is planning to raise money and help locally, right? It's really a local organization, correct?
Correct. So we have a four-prong approach, if you will, to trying to support first responder mental wellness and suicide prevention, and that is raising awareness. that the issue exists, raising awareness that there is a problem with first responder mental wellness, and that they're, you know, while first responders selflessly get into the job, oftentimes they, you know, are affected by it in ways they don't understand. So awareness of the issue, awareness to the public, awareness amongst first responders, awareness amongst agencies, and then also trying to bring in, raise money for, to provide training and help share resources, and then also eventually we'd like to be in a position to help with treatment cost if that was stopping a first responder from seeking treatment.
Gotcha. Very good. And so talk to me about the project that you all have kind of come up with, I guess, to even raise more awareness to this issue, right? You're a team of, will be a team of four.
Team of four, yes. So as our awareness campaign, if you will, you know, it's a big problem. So we needed a big awareness campaign. And so in December of 2022, just about a year out from now, four of us, it's called Team Guardian, we're all going to row across the Atlantic in a rowboat designed specifically for ocean crossings, and we will row across the Atlantic to raise awareness for this cause.
How long is that trip going to be? Like, what's your point A to point B?
Sure. So we start in the Canary Islands, which is off the west coast of Africa, and we end in Antigua. It's 3,000 miles, and we anticipate it to take about 45 days.
And so, are you training right now? Like, is this is going to take a long time, I think, to get your row skills up?
We're training now. I mean, it's something to remember. It's not Olympic rowing, so we're not. You know, you look at Olympic rowers, how, you know, hard they're moving for the short period of time. We're not that. We're talking a slow, steady pace. We're going to keep this boat moving 24 hours a day. So, two of us rowing, two of us resting every 2 hours, 24 hours a day. So there is physical training we're doing now, you know, gym work, and then also rowing when we can. We have our boat, we have it here, we train on our lake here, and rowing that, and then going out and doing other training as well.
So not a speed race.
Not a speed
right.
race.
Right. But there'll be other teams.
There are other teams.
Right.
This is a race. And I liken it to a marathon. And, you know, I think oftentimes we see in a marathon, you have a small group of people that enter it to win. Most people are entering it to finish, and that's our goal. I mean, our goal is to raise awareness for our cause of first responder mental wellness and suicide prevention. We want to do that. We want to do it, you know, safely and, you know, get done having been successful for the cause and then, you know, better friends than when we started, which will be a challenge being on a boat.
After 45 days, maybe.
45 days.
But good luck to you. True. And the thing I was surprised to learn about was that this race has been going on for a while now, right? I mean, and teams from all over the world take part in it, correct?
This is
your first time.
This is very much a ocean rowing, I believe, very much a British sport, British
sounds
endeavor.
Sounds like something they would do.
And so this race, I believe, has been going on since the early 2000s under some different names. It's now called the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge, run by Atlantic Campaigns. There's ocean rowing going on all over, and some people do it unsupported, completely unsupported, you know, just go out by themselves and row. You know, they may row from, there was just a lady here last year who rowed solo from California to Hawaii. There was a team.
Why would they do that?
I think most people rowing an ocean are doing it for a cause. And everybody in this race, we have 44 teams signed up the year we're supposed to race.
Wow.
And it's various causes or this cause?
Various causes.
Various causes.
Okay, every team is rowing for their own cause. There actually is another law enforcement team rowing the year we're rowing, but they're out of England.
Okay.
And they're rowing a group of law enforcement as well, so that's kind of neat.
That is neat. So is there like do you get more donations at the end of the race? Is there like if you win? Like is there something for the winner?
No, I think there's some small trophies, maybe a watch to the people that make it in fastest. But really it's just bragging rights of finishing the race.
Right.
Interesting. And so so you've got the boat. We showed a picture of it earlier, but if you're watching online, of course, we want to let folks see what we're talking about. You've got the boat.
Correct.
You're
yes.
training with the boat. And this is that ocean-going rowboat, right?
Ocean rowboat, yes.
And it's specifically designed for this task.
It is. This boat is made by a company out of the UK called Rannoch. And this particular boat that we have is crossed the Atlantic 3 times already. So we're hoping it knows the way.
There
fastly.
You go. No GPS, just set it and forget it?
It's, yeah, we wish. But there is a little bit of truth to that. So the boats are pretty high tech. You can see there's solar panels on
right.
it. There's solar panel on the aft cabin as well. You're looking at the bow cabin there. We've got GPS and chart plotters in there. We even have a auto helm that we can plug in where we want to go, and it should keep us on track.
Right.
Now, it doesn't always work perfect in this situation, so we do have to steer by hand at times. But it you know, the boats are designed to have that auto
right.
helm system.
I mean, I don't know much, but I know if you're in the middle of the ocean, there's not a lot of landmarks to guide you. I mean, stars, which have been doing it for hundreds of years, but I mean, you really need to stay in the right direction, and the
right.
ocean can be a pretty unforgiving place, right? With
very
storms
so.
And things like that
yeah.
to spin you around or what have you.
And the boats are specifically designed. I mean, if the boat were to roll, if you were to take a rogue wave sideways, the boat rolls, it's going
to
roll back upright.
The design
of the boat,
right.
the weight of the boat, the way the cabins are, and keeping the cabins sealed, the boat. And we stay, of course, harnessed into the boat all the time. So if the boat were to roll, we're
sure.
obviously going to fall out if you're on the road platform, but you're harnessed in, so you climb right back on board the boat. There's a lot of safety built in. As crazy as the idea is, rowing across the ocean and dangerous as that sounds, there's a lot of safety built into it in terms of, you know, the equipment we have to carry, the training we have to go through, and some of the procedures we have to follow.
Great. And so, I mean, I have two questions. One is totally petty, which is like, where do you sleep on that boat?
Okay, great question.
So
like I said, two people will be rowing, two people will be off, and we do that every 2 hours. So there's that bow cabin and that aft cabin, and there is room inside of those to sleep. The bow cabin, the one, the larger one you see there with the Guardian G on it, that it looks bigger. The aft cabin actually goes under the row deck, so your feet can go under the row deck. It
okay.
goes under there about 4 feet or so.
Can stretch out that way.
And stretch out. So actually, we had a guy in there who's about 6'3", was able to fully stretch out, arms above his head and feet all the way down. So it's bigger than it looks. I mean, it's
okay.
not big by any means, but
no,
bigger
yeah.
than it looks.
Good. I'm just making sure you guys are going to get adequate sleep, because this is crazy.
That's still to be determined.
Yeah.
Well, because you're working in shifts, right? So how long are you
2 hour shifts.
Yeah.
And on your off shift.
So you're not sleeping for more than...
Well, and really, we did a training the other day with some other ocean rowers, and we're told, really, you get about an hour and 20 minutes of sleep per shift.
I'm out.
For off shift.
I'm sorry.
I feel like it takes an hour and 20 minutes for me to get to sleep. Okay. So switching gears back to the mental health issue going on, what are some signs that exist if I'm a family member of mine is a first responder or a good friend of mine is a first responder? Like, what are we talking about when we're talking about it? Because I don't know if they manifest in the same way for others or similar or... What's going on?
I think a lot of it is similar. You know, there is, of course, things like depression, anxiety. A story, I'm third generation law enforcement. My father was also a police officer. He suffered from depression, anxiety, and OCD from situations in his career. And part of his was he worked night shift for so long and never slept. My dad slept about an hour a day. Took a medical retirement. Got better, was a very much different person, but was also suicidal at one point in his career from this. And so you can see a lot of the same, you know, suicidal behavior or tendencies. You see, you know, that disassociation, you know, and not doing things with the family, just kind of staying maybe by themselves at time. One of the things with first responders to remember is that oftentimes it's a, you know, the type A personality, right? We're the fixers. Okay, when there's a problem, people call first responders. Whether that's there's an accident, you need medics to come help and fix. Whether that's there's a fight, you need law enforcement. There's a fire, you need fire department. We're the people that are called to fix a solution. We're very good at fixing problems. We're very bad at fixing our own problems. But getting our personalities to understand that and say, hey, I need help and you know, I need to step out of my comfort zone and say, yes, I need help. That's very difficult, and I think that's the big challenge for first responders, and that's a big stigma that exists within the first responder culture and agencies. And also, you know, for years, this has never been spoken about amongst first responder cultures and the agencies and departments. And a lot of it was, you know, if you were struggling with something, maybe you were on a bad wreck and saw, you know, deceased people, it's, you know, hey, that's what you signed up for. Deal with it. Another thing to keep in mind on the first responders and how this manifests is we're very familiar with, you know, military and PTSD from military, you know, and they go to war and they're exposed to things right then and there that cause that immediate, that kind of acute onset of PTSD. Oftentimes in the first responder realm, it's the more that can happen. There's first responders who, you know, are involved in a gunfight or, you know, are in a bad wreck or have, you know, I've heard of partners being killed right next to them. They weren't able to save them. But oftentimes it's that cumulative trauma. Mm-hmm. That builds up and that slowly. And we say, you know, our cup is filling up. And if we don't empty it when and where we want to, and when we say by going to treatment and seeking out resources, it's going to overflow when and where we don't want it to. And that's when it causes us problems. So it's kind of that cumulative trauma, those little things that I can think and I can tell myself, oh, I can deal with it and I can deal with it. And I can stuff it down and put it away. And I thought I dealt with it until something else comes up. And then it's turn into a bigger problem for me.
Right.
And that, it sounds to me, is what maybe makes it so hard to maybe identify, right? If it's a little bit at a time and a little bit at a time filling that cup, and then all of a sudden your cup is full and overflowing.
Correct.
And now it's a crisis. Now it's a potential problem, right, that could impact your job.
Yes, very much. Your life, your job. And, you know, that's one of the things we're trying to do with the awareness and training part is to bring that also to families. And I talk about the difference when we do talks, I talk about the difference in, you know, for me, my example of growing up with a dad who was law enforcement. My dad was a cop long before I was born, so that's all I knew him. How I knew my dad in those years that he was, you know, basically ill, with these, but that was all I knew. That was my dad. And I saw a totally different person once he got better. Now, my mother knew there was something wrong because she saw that transition. While it was slow transition, she saw that. So for families to identify, and sometimes I may get into law enforcement or fire, and I'm sorry I say law enforcement a lot because I am law enforcement.
Sure.
But again, we mean all first responders. I may get into the first responder field before I'm married. And therefore, you know, for me and my wife, she has only known me as a police officer. You know, I was a cop before we got married, when we met. Other people may, you know, you may have a couple, and then the spouse gets into the first responder field, and they may see, you know, more of that change. But yes, it is a slow change that if we're not paying attention to, and if we're not dealing with issues proactively when they come up, and kind of just working through those, then it is more dangerous.
Indeed. And I wanted to bring it back local a little bit too, because it seems like just because of the nature of Farmington and San Juan County, we have a lot of folks who come into this community to shop or work. And so I think our first responders get maybe a higher number of calls for communities our size than if you compare them to other communities of the same size, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Is that something that you would agree with? I mean, it seems like...
I know we have an influx of, you know, being a kind of a hub area for shopping and stuff. I know we have an influx of people that may not live here full time. And, you know, I'm not sure how many, you know, on the law enforcement side, I mean, I think sheriff's office, we handle about 50,000 calls per year. PD is going to be more than that.
Sure.
Farmington PD. There's a lot of calls. But I think the big thing to understand is no community is immune from it. Okay.
True.
And no matter how small, you know, I mean, the community where my dad worked was a very small town. It was about 13 miles by 5 miles. You know, not very big at all.
Right.
And so, but no matter what size, no community is immune from it. And we have first responders in our community now who are suffering. We've had first responders take their lives and die by suicide here in our community.
Sure.
And so regardless of that, yes, the more calls you have, the more opportunities to be exposed to those traumatic incidents that does cause a problem.
Right. And I would just say, I think that you're sheriff's office, respond to more calls for a community, a county of about 132,000, than maybe another community of 132,000 that's not a shopping hub, that's not a destination, and things like that.
I would say that's safe to say, yes, very much so.
So let's talk about the funds that you raise. Mm-hmm. What do those go toward?
So we, of course, a lot of it's going towards our awareness campaign to get, you know, get this going. The Ocean Row, it's when we put that together for the awareness campaign, it is an expensive endeavor, but it has done a great job in getting us the attention that we need. I mean, when we bring the boat around, we have to plan extra time. Because people always want to talk to us. What is it? What am I looking at? Is this a spaceship? Is this an airplane? What kind of boat is this?
Right.
When we talk about ocean rowing, we're talking about mental wellness. So, you know, a lot of our funds have gone towards our awareness campaign, which when we're done rowing at the beginning of 2023, we are hoping to have a team form behind us and row again for the same cause through Guardian initiatives. We also have, you know, some of our funds are earmarked and specifically set aside for training, to provide training and or treatment. We even have some for treatment now, where, you know, we have some donors who say, hey, I would like to have my funds go specifically towards training or towards treatment. We put that only towards that. And then some are, they really enjoy the, you know, the idea of the row and putting it towards that.
And you've gotten some businesses that have stepped up, haven't you, to sponsor Guardian Initiatives and the boat. We see logos besides yours, Guardian Initiatives, on the boat, right? So that's helping as well, is it not, to defray some costs?
Very much so, very much so. And, you know, we're a 501c3, so there's a, you know, a little bit of benefit to businesses, but getting out, having their logos on the boat, we've had a lot of great local businesses support us and local individuals. And we have different kind of levels, if you will. We have, you know, just donors, individual people or businesses making just donations, and we have our full sponsorship packages where you can be on our boat and cross the Atlantic with us.
Right, for 45 days.
For 45 days,
right. And so it's a team of four.
Yes, sir.
And you've got three.
Yes, sir.
And you're still looking for that elusive fourth teammate.
It's got to be just martyr.
Right?
It's got to be just the right person.
Sure, you know, of course it does.
Team dynamics are huge on this, being in a tight area for so long, under the stress we're going to be. It's got to be just the right person to do this, and somebody who's also on board, no pun intended, with the cause.
Of course.
And the mental wellness cause. And right now it's myself, Jared Slindy, who also works for the Sheriff's Office, Mike Hogue, who's a retired Sheriff's Office sergeant. And then we've got a gentleman right now looking, considering it, and trying to get the time off of work, which is challenging.
Gotcha. And your trip is going to be next December.
Next December.
So we may hear something about a trip this December, because it happens every year, right?
Yes, sir.
And so there are other teams that are going, and I'm sure you guys are going to be watching carefully, right, mm-hmm. to see how this goes with the other teams who will start their trip across the Atlantic. What day does it start in December?
December 12th. And it's actually December 12th this year and next year.
Okay.
And we have, there's three American teams, I believe, this year. And one of them in particular, Four From Home, is a group of veterans out of Florida. And we've become friends with them. And we actually went out to Florida. They did some training with us and work with us, shared their knowledge with us. And we talk to them regularly and sharing information back and forth. And
nice. So talk to me a bit about your training on the lake. It's certainly different from ocean conditions, I would think. Our lake is great, but it certainly isn't ocean lake. But what types of things are you doing? And you're going elsewhere to train too, I guess, is the other question.
We do. So the race, to get into the race, we're required to have a certain amount of training and certain drills that we have to train on. Of course, rowing an ocean, when you live in New Mexico, creates an extra challenge in that we don't have the ocean to train on. The team I just mentioned, Four From Home, they're right on Amelia Island, Florida. They can train continually on the ocean. We train on the lake. You know, we're training on a lot of just being on the boat and learning the boat and learning how to maneuver around the boat. It's not like a, you know, you get on a pontoon boat that's very stable. You know, you move on this boat and the whole boat rocks.
I'm more familiar with a houseboat in Navajo Lake myself.
There you go.
Keep going.
So just learning how to maneuver around the boat, learning how to get things. The more time on the boat, the better for us. So on the lake, we're training also about our rowing technique and matching our rowing technique with each other. That's to make sure we are rowing efficiently to prevent injury. You know, you think about it, it's about a million oar strokes we're each going to take to cross the Atlantic. So we want to be efficient with that. We will be training. We're actually going to be taking a trip to England in the spring to train with a person out there. There are special medical training, navigation training that all has to be certified through the RYA, the Royal Yachting Association. I think it is British.
Okay. Because they're sponsoring and putting on this race. Is that part
of it? That's a requirement,
yeah,
not just of the race organizers, but to row out of the Canary Islands. The government has certain requirements.
Sure.
And you know, the way you explained to us, there's a medical course we have to take, which is good. We've already done some additional medical training. We had a friend of ours who's a first responder and medic teaching us how to do IVs and some more trauma-type related training in case we needed it. But there's some medical training that even if you're an ER doctor, you have to have this medical training by the government there in the Canary Islands. So we'll go out to England, do some training there. We'll do we'll do a 48-hour ocean row out there. When we're done with that, we'll come back. We'll actually make a trip back out to Florida this summer and train more. We'll probably do another 48-hour to 72-hour ocean row nonstop. We have to row at night. And we have to have all these drills that we train on as well. Man overboard drills during the day, at night.
Sure.
Items we need to learn how to deploy, like they call it a para anchor, which is like a big parachute you put out in the water in a storm. That's a lot of line with that. You don't want to get tangled up or tripped up. So there's a lot of training we have to do on that.
Gotcha. We're showing another picture right now. And so again, it's your team of four, and it's usually two on and two off,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Is that kind of how it works?
Two on, two off. Two guys will row. Our boat's actually capable of three people rowing. You could have a five-person team on this boat. We will do a four-person team. So two people will row, two people will rest. And this was in Florida. The photo you're looking here is in Florida on the ocean, actually, not our lake here. And,
right.
And doing some training there. Again, it's all about learning the boat, learning the equipment.
Sure. And are the other teams the same size, or could some teams have five?
Some teams have five. You don't see as many fives as you do fours, but there's a lot of solo rowers. There's a lot of pairs, you know, or trios that also row.
Yeah.
And the solo rowers, they're taking 80 to 90 days. I think I would draw the line there. I'd probably be arguing with myself the whole way.
I was going to say, talk about mental health. I feel like this trip itself will be trying.
It will.
The four of your brains.
I believe it will.
Yeah.
So
interesting. And just one more photo I wanted to show everybody a little bit about, and this is just more of the boat and some of, I guess, storage that you've got and things like that, right?
So this was, we were recently working on the boat and going through and cleaning and there's storage everywhere on this boat. There's lots of compartments because we have to be able to carry not only all of our equipment, all of our food for 55 days. The race requires us to, while we anticipate 45 days, the race requires us to have 55 days worth of food. And not just, you know, a package of food. I'm talking 6,000 calories per person per day.
Yeah, you're burning a lot.
There's
of
a
those
lot
calories.
Of food.
Sure.
And then all of our equipment, emergency equipment, life rafts, medical equipment, you know.
And water, are you taking it with you, or can you purify it, or?
We have a little bit of emergency water with us, but we actually have a desalinator on board. So the boat is equipped with a desalinator and we turn it on, and it'll pull seawater up from underneath the boat, and desalinate it, and pump out fresh water for drinking.
Okay. Interesting. There you go. A lot of technology on this boat, for
sure.
There
is.
And solar-powered, and so you don't have to worry about that. Really?
Correct.
You're on a southern trip, so there's no icebergs or anything like that
you
need to worry about. I'm having Titanic
sharks.
Flashbacks.
Any sharks?
There are. So actually, some of the questions we get is, why row in December? And was it going to be cold? So December, less chance of storms, and it's not cold. While we're still in the North Atlantic, we're in the southern part of the North Atlantic, so it's not as cold. There are some sharks. I think there's probably more sharks on the Pacific side when people row the Pacific. But what they had last year was 3 marlin strikes on boats.
Oh,
so 3 times boats got struck by marlins, and actually where their bill penetrated the boat.
Whoa.
And some of them, they requires a repair.
That's why they call it a swordfish, right?
Wow.
We have to, we'll have equipment on the boat for doing repairs.
Right.
One of the teams I know, they left because the bill breaks off. And so they just fiberglassed around where the bill was protruding through the inside of the cabin and left it in place till they got in.
Okay. You ready for anything? I guess what you have to be when you're in the middle of the ocean, because we know first responders respond everywhere, but they don't get out there quickly.
Correct.
If there's an issue, so
don't deal with marlins usually.
Probably
so.
Not. But, yeah. Well.
Well, Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, really fascinating. Again, you and your fellow teammates. Much good luck to you. We'll probably have you on again as we get closer.
Thank you.
I know the community is excited, I think, for this effort, and as you've told us, from the support you've gotten from businesses and individuals. If folks do want to reach out to you, if they're listening or watching this morning, what's the best way to get a hold of you guys?
So on our website, which is just www.row3000.com,
okay.
Is our website on there, our emails, our phone numbers. Reach out about sponsorship. Talk also about our sponsorship opportunities. There's resources on there, mental wellness resources on our website. Again, our phone numbers, anybody is welcome to reach out and talk to us.
You can just do a search for Guardian Initiatives, and it pops right up as well, everybody. So
correct.
You can find it that way. You're on Facebook, I know.
Yes,
so
Facebook and Instagram.
All those normal places. So yes, wonderful. Sir. Well, good luck.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks again for having us.
Thanks for coming in. Thank you. Megan, thank you for being here on Black Friday.
I'm sacrificing my
your shopping
run.
Times. I know, right? But that's okay.
Yeah,
Thanks for being here. We'll be back next week with another COVID-19 community information program, everybody. So we'll be updating everyone on that. But until then, stay well, stay safe, and we'll see you next week, everyone. Bye-bye. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.